Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Dan Gross in the building.
That means Don's happy. A little Gross in
visibly,
the morning.
Visibly happy.
Visibly happy. So, we talked to Aaron Rodgers yesterday.
I'm friends with somebody. Isn't that sick?
Oh, he just said visibly happy, not me.
Well, because it's funny, but then you got to take it too far.
I didn't say visibly happy. He did.
No, but he knows I'm joking. Yeah. You're the one who doesn't understand
you're
friendship.
You're disturbed.
Everybody could joke, but not me.
But it's been going on for a long time.
You two have an unnatural relationship. I'm sorry.
And yet
and I'm happy for both of you.
You have some weird love relationship with Rick,
yep.
Who you barely know.
I know Rick very well.
And Don is his dear friend, and
I've
you think
him
he's
for
a weirdo.
Years. He started 20, interning here in
Do you know 03. You know what happened on the morning show? Some guy called in. I guess Rick was looking for a driver, and a guy said he was a driver and he would drive Rick for and then he happened to say hey to Michael K, and Rick said I can't work with you then.
Wow, yeah. Really?
That's what
nice.
A friend does.
That's nice.
You would never do that for...
Sure
for,
I would.
For Rick.
Maybe I would
Rick.
Do it for Don, not you, though.
We know. We know.
The ride.
So we talked to Aaron Rodgers yesterday, so he loves to talk. Today he was on the Keep Hammering Collective, and he was asked, is this Jet team a title contender?
You know, I like our guys. I like our coaching staff. We just got to put it all together. We got a fan base that's super, super hungry and desperate for wins. And I think we got the right guys. We got a good group of really talented young guys. We have the rookies of the year from a couple years ago, and Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner, top corner and top receiver. We got a couple guys behind him. We're also incredible rookies and coming off great second years. Jermaine Johnson had a big year for us as defensive end. And Breece Hall, our starting running back, who had a phenomenal year catching the ball, had like 600 yards receiving, I think, and had a ton of yards rushing for us, and he's a game breaker. So we got to shore up the offensive line a little bit to add a couple guys there, maybe get another receiver. But you know, I like our chances, and you know, I feel like if I'm out there, we always got a chance.
Like that. Cocky.
Now, what else is he going to say?
No. Right? If he's out there, he brings everybody up to him, and when he's not, they stink. He talked about the frustrations of getting hurt last year.
So disheartening and heartbreaking about last year was the work that I put in at 39 to put myself in a position to be able to play the whole season. I mean, I grinded. I came back, you know, as fit as I've been in a long time and hired a chef who helped me, you know, with my diet and constant body work and stuff. Just to, like, be able to get through the season and then to, you know, play four plays was really, really tough, especially with all the excitement around us with Hard Knocks and new team and we were playing on 9/11. You know, it was just a beautiful, beautiful night before that. So I got to stay healthy, be back Father Time a few more years, but I like our chances.
I've decided to get a chef too. Chef Boyardee. He's going to...
Really?
He's going to make things right for me.
That, by the way, that's the kind of chef you would like.
Yeah.
You're kind of...
A little Italian stuff, sure.
But that would be nice to not have to think about it, right? You get home... Dinner's on the table. It's healthy. It's been prepared. You know that it's quality.
Well, when you get home, you see tuna helper, right?
I never had tuna helper. I've had
we
hamburger.
We both went ER.
Or tuna helper.
And I haven't had
hamburger.
I haven't had hamburger helper.
But you love hamburger helper.
But the kids don't like it.
But you're the breadwinner.
Yeah, but I'm also not the chef. I mean, it's hard for Nancy. There's a lot of things going on. They had ice skating yesterday, and then it's you can sit down and she prepares an unbelievable chicken soup. She makes amazing chicken soup.
Interesting.
And then me, the yo-yo, I put the leftovers away.
Right.
But the bowl was still hot.
Broke.
So I left it out.
All right.
Figure I let it cool before I put it back in the refrigerator.
Sure.
You know, and then it was like 1:50 in the morning, and she's up and she sees that I didn't put it back.
What, did it ruin it?
It was out for like 5 and 6 hours.
Try it.
Well, we boiled it, and we'll see what we can do with it. But no, she works so hard, Michael. I can't ask her to go out there and make me, can you make me some meals that are healthy? No, she makes meals. But I'm talking about, imagine you have a chef.
Why, you've got the money. Get yourself a chef.
Well, you say it like it's anyone would think it's crazy. If someone has a lot of money,
yeah,
is it one of the first things you do?
Yeah.
Go chef? I think that's one of the first things you do.
But that's a lot of money.
Well, no. You got to get to... Where do you go first? Well, you like to drive, right? You wouldn't want a driver.
No.
No, I would.
But if you had that kind of money, would you want security? Because you have enough money now for that. So would you have security also?
No.
You wouldn't want security?
No.
So you don't want a driver. You don't want security. Is the first thing you do then, chef, in terms of like a housekeeper, an everyday housekeeper?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes.
Do you guys have no housekeeper?
No housekeeper.
At all? Ever?
No.
Not even occasionally.
Nancy doesn't like people up in her business.
Is that what it is?
Well, I just didn't like the fact that we had to clean the house before they came.
No, see, that's defeating the purpose.
I understand, but it still happened.
Because you
want to be presentable, and I think this is defeating the purpose. But
I write on crayons on the wall before the person comes in.
Red rum.
Once a week.
You have once a week?
Once a week.
Don, have you guys ever had
We did back in the day.
But with kids, you don't want it even more now? Like a nice...
It's a thing.
It sounds like he does.
Nancy wants it.
It wouldn't be for me. It would be for Nancy.
Just be helpful. So, all right. So, housekeeper's out. So, you go right to chef if you get rich.
Chef would be amazing.
So, I was thinking, like, I played Mega Millions because it's really high.
Why not? You need more money.
And money finds money.
I started to think, if I won, the first thing I would do, I would hire armored security, an armored truck, to take me to the lottery office. Because I would think if I drove there, what if I got carjacked? I would have armored police with me constantly.
But you're not going to have the cash on you, so what does
it
matter?
Well, you have the ticket. If you don't have the ticket, you don't get the win.
Oh, so you need it with the first...
Yeah.
But why would anyone know you have it?
Yeah.
I don't want to take that chance. Anybody could get robbed at any moment.
This is really how your brain works.
Right, and then once it's like $600 million, so I'd bring home like $305 million, there'd be armed security constantly around the house. And with me all the time. I wouldn't leave the house without a big, burly, armed...
But I have a question.
Yeah.
You think you'd be more in danger just to be rich than you are to be well-known?
Yes.
Why?
Because I don't have that kind of money that people would, like, kill somebody for. But if somebody knew you had $305 million, of course. You'd never get near me, not even you. Nobody would get within 10 feet of me, including Jody.
That sounds really, really pleasant.
Yep. That's the way I envision being rich.
Wow, that is interesting. Yeah. You see things that way.
You don't think that Jeff Bezos has armed security around him all the time?
$300 million is ashtray money to
right.
Jeff Bezos.
And you don't think like Zuckerberg has like...
But that's ashtray money.
But still,
if you get to a few hundred million... I think you definitely want security at your home.
Yeah.
And with you.
I don't know that you need it with you.
First of all, I would definitely keep the Yankee gig. So every time, like the broadcasters park in the parking lot with the fans.
Well, no, once, but you're
on. So there would be somebody armed with me all the time walking into the stadium.
But you don't even like a driver, you don't even like car service.
No, I would drive them.
They'd sit shotgun.
Yeah.
You drive them.
They're sitting in the passenger seat.
Security with him when he walks out of
Who?
The building. Does Aaron Judge have security everywhere he goes?
Great point. Well, could that be point guard?
I don't know. I mean,
everybody, not only do they know he's rich, they know exactly how much money he makes.
And who he is.
And he's recognizable and he's
But he, famous. He doesn't park in the fans
Understood.
Parking lot.
Understood. But if he goes to the Willowbrook Mall, does he have armed guards around
I bet
him?
You,
no.
I bet you famous people can't go to a mall unless they have guards.
But like when I see Aaron Judge at like a basketball game, I don't think he even has security with him.
But the Knicks provide security. There's security on Celebrity Row.
But do you think when he gets outside, he has security waiting for him always?
I would think.
No, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think I'm telling tales out of school, Peter.
Go ahead.
And Billy Crystal's rich. You were basically a security getting out of Madison Square Garden that night, right?
No, basically around it. I was a security.
And it wasn't like he was asking for it. I mean, everybody knows he's rich. And he's bothered. He's famous. He's one of very recognizable.
But he's not $300 million rich.
But he's rich, and but that's somebody that, you know, according to Michael, would maybe need security to get out of the garden. He left with everybody else. I mean, you helped them out, like where to go, where it's not a mob scene. But it wasn't like security escorted him out of the garden.
Frank Isola just texted me if I won. He said, first thing you'd get is a girlfriend, whether you want one or not.
It's a great point.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't want a girlfriend.
Oh, why don't you ask
him? I have a wife.
Well, so why don't you text him my Nets trivia?
He's watching right now.
But I want to know if he likes it.
Do you like his idea about
doing... Do me a favor. Do me a favor.
There he is. Look, there he is.
Now, I don't want to put him in a tough spot.
Right.
So he's heard it. Frank, not if you've heard my idea.
It's not dead life.
For the 30 minutes. Do a trivia. Do something. Don't break down the game tonight. You're better than that. Text him my phone number. Just text me thumbs up, thumbs down, whether that's something you'd have an appetite for. He could be the quiz master of Nets trivia.
I don't want
a walk down memory lane.
But I don't want to give him your number.
How about a Nets yearbook, 02?
He said thumbs up. Yeah, he liked it.
No, because you know what?
He gets it, right?
I think we have a chance. We've never had the time. I have a feeling that if we had the time...
You'd be friends with him?
We would be very close.
I don't think you would.
Now, you're just saying that to be mean.
No, he's just cooler than you.
Well, so you have to have equal coolness to hang with somebody?
Yes,
Peter's clearly cooler than me. I consider him a friend.
Thank you.
He doesn't consider you that close.
Of course he does.
No, if I did a show with Frank...
Right.
Honestly,
yeah.
Like if I did that NBA show with him on Sirius,
right.
I think we'd go after the show, because it's a morning show. We'd go out for breakfast after, we'd hang, families would get together.
Every day.
No.
First of all, his kids are in their 20s. Your kids are in your 5s.
No, I'm talking about the couples go out to dinner or something.
Oh, gotcha.
Right? I mean, I think I really like Frank a lot.
All right.
And I think, given the opportunity, he'd really like me.
I'm not sure. I don't think that would happen.
Text him my number. I want to have some...
No, I don't want you two to have each other's numbers. He'll give me thumbs up or thumbs down. By the way, did you see who showed up at Yankee camp today and took BP?
I did see
that. Yes, has
Russell Wilson.
No.
No, close.
Very close.
Russell Mayfield.
No. Yeah. Did he ask about accommodations? Is he going to stay after the game, live there, go to bed, stay the night?
I think Steinbrenner Field is much smaller than the Cleveland Stadium. Look, they're taking BP. Left-hander and a late
swing.
The
other way.
Yeah, I think that was a late swing.
But that's a nice swing, though.
Not bad. Hey, an athlete is an athlete.
No, that's not true. You've seen NBA players throw out first pitches, and there's people getting like hurt on the first baseline.
I saw Stephen A. Smith throw out the first.
He's an athlete.
Yeah, but that wasn't good.
No, because
it wasn't what you want.
Not what he wanted.
No,
baseball's different. It's a different set of skill sets, right? Like you've seen.
No, hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports.
But I just think the whole mechanics of it too
of throwing or hitting.
Both, I think.
I got to tell you, I was in my I have not been able to get a hit in a like charity game in years. Oh, did I get one? No, I got one in Don's game in the last couple years. But I generally just ground out over and over again. It's really pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been happy with my throwing and catching at these games, which is not, to Don's point, it is awkward as you get older.
Speaking of throwing.
Yeah.
Oswald Peraza, supposed to be one of the two Yankee backup players, sent for an MRI. Throwing still not right. Mm-hmm. They said that he felt like a little... tightness there, and then they played him, and then now it's hard for him to make the throw across the diamond. So
you hate tightness.
Getting an MRI. Xavier McKinney was on the very popular Up and Adams show with Kay Adams, and he was talked about the contract negotiations with the Giants.
Well, obviously we've had talks, and we're trying to figure something out. But I'm just pretty much being as open as I can. You know, that's I've expressed it as much as I can if I wanted to be back. But, you know, ultimately, it's not really my all up to me. So it's something that, you know, we both had to come to a mutual agreement. You know, like I said, hopefully we can get something done. But if not, I understand it's business.
I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if Don and Peter will agree.
Hmm.
I think Joe Shane is playing three-dimensional chess. Go ahead, Xavier. Go see what you can get. You know how many safeties are out there on the market right now? The Broncos just released Justin Simmons.
Yeah.
8 seasons with the Broncos. A top-of-the-line guy.
Mm-hmm.
Always their Walter Payton award nominee. You can have your choice of any of them. The more of something that's out there, the less the price is going to be. Same thing with Barkley.
Well, that's what's also flooded, the running back market.
Yeah.
I mean, the Giants are actually being pretty shrewd here. It's like, yeah, we'd like you back. But if you think you can get more money elsewhere, go ahead. Knowing he probably won't because there's so many players out there. And then basically have all these teams negotiate for him and then hope that they come back and say, yeah, you're right. The money isn't out there. So what are you offering me? And if they do find something, well, then there's other safeties that you can now go sign.
And the problem with, you know, they're not accepting what the Giants are offering them. Giants are going to sit and wait until you bring something back. They're not going to do that. If they get something that they think is a fair price, you're out. They'll sign the other player. That's the same thing with Barkley. They can't wait while all the running backs are coming off the board, while you're discovering exactly what you want to do. They're going to take a chance, and they'll sign somebody. So I think we might not know what their plan is, but I tell you, I think they have a plan.
No, yeah, they definitely have a plan, and the plan is to bring quality players in at the price they want. Xavier McKinney is an outstanding safety, but if they can get a safety of similar ilk for a million or two less, then that's where they're going to go.
You know what safeties are?
The running back of the defense.
Yeah, running back of Jays.
And both of those markets are flooded.
First baseman of football. First baseman of football.
Yeah.
It's all about where you play.
Always look, you know, with the sound that we have, something that would interest either Don or Peter. This will get Peter's attention.
Okay.
Ron Rivera, former Commanders coach.
Current Commanders coach.
Was on with Carlin and Joe today. And he was asked, is there anything you would do differently in Washington? What do you think he said, Peter?
Anything?
Not take the job?
No. He's going to say...
I like this first answer of anything.
He would have given Taylor Heineke the starting job.
Now here we go. Here's what he said.
You go after Justin Herbert right off the bat. I mean, you take a quarterback with that pick. You know, the one thing we didn't have that would have helped us going into the draft is we didn't get to, because of COVID, we didn't get to have the veteran mini camp that you have, you know, where you bring the guys in, see who you got, see what you got, and make decisions. We had to go off of what we were doing on Zoom. So we didn't get our hands on people early. We didn't get our hands on until everybody showed up for training camp, and then we were still separated because we had to do things by Zoom as well, other than practice on the field. So, yeah, I would have done, Chris, just to be honest, some things differently.
Did they have a chance at Herbert?
What year Herbert was 21?
I guess.
I don't remember. He was 2020, sixth overall by the Chargers.
And did they have something in the top five?
We went two and got Chase Young. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was the the Giants shouldn't have won in overtime game.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you feel bad because Chase Young is a good player. Now he got to play in a Super Bowl. But you look at the top of that draft, and man, Joe Burrow's up there, Andrew Thomas for the Giants. Tua Tagovailoa went 5 to Miami. Justin Herbert, 6.
Wow, too bad. Danny in Long Island. Danny.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Michael, if you happen to win the lottery, I will volunteer my services to be the bodyguard. As long as I get to go into the games for free, I think that'd be an exciting life.
You know what? You got it.
Done.
But I'm going to need other people, too, not just you, Danny.
Well, you need to win the lottery.
I have two sons that have gone into the family business, so they can, round the clock at the house. We work it out.
As long as they're heavily armed.
Yes, at all times. Now, I would like to shout out a sports story from South Florida today. May not have made the news. I'd like to congratulate my 87-year-old mother, Marge, whose bocce ball team won the semifinal at La Boca Vista.
Wow.
To move on to next Wednesday's final.
There you go.
2 out of 3 against the favorite, and now they move on. If everyone, as my mother said, if we're all here still next Wednesday, we go on to the final. So congratulations, Mom.
Your mom is literally taking it day to day.
Yeah, but you know what? When I was talking to her this morning, she couldn't give me details at 7 o'clock because she was on her way to the golf course. How's that for 87?
Strong. Good genes, Danny. Good genes.
Good Irish stock. And here's another sports story, which when I read, I couldn't even believe I was reading it. There are people in Kansas City today, according to this article, are now approaching the point where they may need to have amputations due to frostbite that occurred during the coldest football game in history when we laughed at people are out in the cold. One guy has to have his fingertips removed because he removed his gloves off in the parking lot to put up his tent. There were still 13 people going through, it's probably inpatient, but they do hyperbaric chamber. Do you realize what the damage people, they said they'll never be the same. Unbelievably, NFL made people actually go out in life-threatening weather and watch a game.
Well, you know what? They didn't make them. They didn't have to go. I mean, I would not do it. I would not sit in that sort of weather. I'm sorry. The game's on TV.
But, he lost his fingertips because he needed to put up his tent because no matter how cold it was, he still wanted to go out there and tailgate.
Right.
So, listen, I get what you're saying. Should that game have been postponed because it was too cold? It was dangerous. I remember the Weather Channel was talking about how they shouldn't play the game, how dangerous it is. But if you lost your fingers because you took your glove off because you wanted to put the tent up so you can tailgate, there's one thing going to the game and protecting yourself and then still feeling like it's one of the coldest games of the century, but you still want to go out there and tailgate.
But why didn't the players lose their fingers? They didn't have gloves on.
I don't know. Well, they probably... Well,
some of them did, but not all of them.
But they were probably keeping their hands in their jerseys. They've got hand warmers on the sideline. Listen, I'm sure people got frostbite. But I'm sure the people that did were irresponsible, didn't clothe correctly. Listen, if you want to be a yo-yo and have a no shirt on, is that really on the league or is that on
great
the guy
point?
You know what I think it's on? I think it's on the networks. You take your shirt off, boom, you're on TV. Don't do it. They shouldn't be focusing on those wackos.
It's a fair point.
But so it's on the networks.
But you're still an idiot if you do it.
Yeah,
of course.
You see
what people do to get on TV.
I see what people do to try to get a free T-shirt that's not gonna fit them. Getting fired out of a cannon
with a huge sponsor right across the front of it.
Dumb, and maybe the people that are dumb should be held responsible. How about that?
Oh boy, you'd have a big jail. I don't know if you guys know this. Garden of Laughs returns to the theater at MSG on March 27th, benefiting the Garden of Dreams Foundation. The all-star comedy lineup features Bill Burr, Michael Che, Chris DeStefano, Jim Gaffigan, Heather McMahon, Tracy Morgan, Sam Morril, and John Stewart, all hosted by our good friend Steve Sciarippa, who will be in studio with us on Monday, by the way. Support the Garden of Dreams Foundation and have a great time doing it. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Do you think I'd be funny doing stand-up?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Don?
No, you wouldn't be. You're too insecure, and I don't mean that as a shot at you.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you'd be able to handle a day where maybe nobody's laughing at your jokes or heckling you.
I think
it takes a special type of courage to go up there and tell jokes.
But why
are
you thinking? I'm not saying whether I couldn't handle it. But what would say if I stood up there and did stand up and was really funny? Why don't you think I could be funny?
No, you could be funny, but even the best comedians have a dead room or have a joke that doesn't go over.
I think I would slay.
All right.
Wait, hold on. What do you mean?
I make people laugh
in one time out.
Yeah.
Do you know how hard that job is?
I get it. I do a hard job too.
Do you know how many years that they
work? I'm not saying I'd be Bill Burr, but I'd make people laugh.
And you'd also,
I've got funny stories.
And
like the stories I tell you off the air, I tell them on stage.
I get it. You do tell funny stories, but like, I don't know. I've done it. I've been on stage many times.
Well, I'm funnier than you.
That's just simply not true. I'm not saying I've never done badly. Well, no, I did. My one stand-up thing's bad. But like in hosting comedy shows, you obviously do bits and do jokes. And sometimes you get laughs. But then other times you're like, this is not the radio. I don't want to be doing this. It's such a different
business.
Thing. Yeah, I don't know why you think you just walk up. You think any yo-yo could just walk in and do a radio show and be good?
No, but I think I can do stand-up. And I think that if I dedicated my life to it, I'd be one of the top stand-ups in the country.
It's funny. I get called an egomaniac on the show.
You have been.
Don, does this guy's his ego knows no bounds?
I'm funny. I'm smart. I've got great stories. I'm a good writer. Yeah, I'd be unbelievable.
But it doesn't. But the,
I would
takes
be playing.
More than that.
I would be playing the Garden within 4 years.
Within four.
If
years.
I dedicated my life to doing stand up, I'd slay.
It's
but
so,
I just don't have a lot of life left.
It's just disrespectful to these people and their craft.
It really is.
I said it would take me 4 years.
Yeah, but 4 years isn't very long. These people, in 4 years, the average great comedian has accomplished nothing.
I'd have the greats helping me. Larry David would help me write something.
Okay, well, in that case, I could have a stand-up special next week and slay. Chris Rock could write it for me.
It's the way you deliver it. I don't think you would deliver it well.
Oh, really?
I would deliver it
interesting.
Well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you can really see why Don likes Dan. Dan's a good guy. Dan just came in during the break. Terrific person.
Yeah, and he's an old soul.
Yeah, Steve Lawrence has passed away. My sister's going to be crushed. Steve Lawrence of Stephen Eady.
Yep, I'm not particularly familiar.
Yeah, well, you're missing a lot.
I guess
88's a good run. Now, I wouldn't sign up for it, but that's a good run.
Also, you guys badmouthed me earlier saying I made up Stefan Urkel.
Right.
That was his alt name. Okay. His alternate personality when he went into some machine was Stefan Urkel.
I tried to tell you twice during the break. You didn't have your headphones on.
Yeah. Oh. Jacob tried to tell you twice.
I'm sorry, Jacob. Well, Dom was recording God knows what.
God knows what. You'll see. and because we were in that groove. Charo, her age came up. We didn't know.
How old is she?
73.
I would think she'd be old. She must have been really young.
She was born in 51. So with all those, when she was doing stuff, it's like she started. It's
she must have been a kid.
In 63. She was a teenager, a young teenager. Now you feel weird about it now.
No, but when I started knowing who Charo was, she was probably 25, 26.
But she was going
Charo was Sofia Vergara before Sofia Vergara. But with no acting talent like Sofia. But she can dance.
Shakira, kind of like a combination of Shakira and her, because it's kind of similar aspects, if you will.
Interesting.
Do you think that this show today is ready for the hit and miss king of all time, JJ of North Carolina?
I think he hits more than he misses.
No, he misses a lot.
He hit last time.
No. Well, let's bring him in. JJ, let's see what you got today.
A lot of people don't know this, but I'm hearing after Jake Paul loses to Mike Tyson, to get back in the good graces of critics and fans, he's going to challenge Brandi Scott to an exhibition.
Is that true?
We'll have to ask her. She's doing her last one.
So. Oh, yeah. We'll ask her in a minute.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. That's a miss.
I just want to say, you know what? How dare you? With all your clown jokes and your horrible takes and your ridiculous
The food dad habits. Jokes are bad. The food takes are horrible.
What kind of comedian do you think Michael would be?
Oh, my. I would leave in about five. I mean,
you wouldn't be invited. You couldn't get into my You couldn't get into my show. First of all, I wouldn't allow you. Second of all, you don't have the money to get in. Because I would charge $500 a pop.
Right, and a two-drink minimum.
That's true. I think, in my opinion, This guy is the best caller in TMKS history. He's a former Long Islander like myself, Danny in Long Island. He just makes his point so great. He's so funny. He knows the context of the show. He knows you guys well. He goes from point to point. I think he's just a great guy and funny guy all around.
I can't disagree with you, JJ.
Well, yeah.
You don't like him? You still have a grudge against him?
No, right? I don't. I don't know. I love Danny. I think Danny's a solid caller, I think.
And a solid human being.
I've never met
him. I want to have a drink with him.
Wow, strong.
I've met him. He's a good guy. He gave treats for Bear when
no,
we saw him.
No, he's I just listen.
Yeah, he's the best.
Do you remember recently? Who are we talking about, Don? That Don was willing to vouch on this person in our industry and say he was sure that they were a good person.
I don't remember.
And I was like, how can you say you're sure? You don't even know this person. Danny does seem like a good guy.
Yeah, who was that, Anthony? Do you remember? Somebody's going to have to remind me.
And I remember someone came in and was like, really? It was one of our colleagues, but we just don't know the person. Don is willing to vouch for people quickly.
Oh, no, it was Jeff Van Gundy.
Oh, yeah, Jeff Van Gundy. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, he was sure.
I am positive. I'd be shocked that there were skeletons in his car.
And I'm just saying, I think I feel really good about the fact that Danny's a good guy.
You know, I'm going to tell a story out of school about Jeff Van Gundy, and Mike would probably get mad that I'm telling it, but okay. I don't think he's saying it. So Mike Breen says the best thing, the only good thing about being on the road, because he's on the road a lot. Mike is a foodie. He's unlike me. He eats everything. He tries
everything.
He's
a man with taste.
And he goes to the best restaurants. And he said that's the thing that makes him, you know, accept the fact he's on the road. Because he can go all these great restaurants. He said Van Gundy did not take part in these reindeer games. Like Mark Jackson would go to them, the producer, the director. Van Gundy would go to, you know, a Wendy's or a McDonald's, mm-hmm. order something, bring it up to his room.
Yeah. You've told us this before.
Yeah, Jeff is that guy.
He passed on their dinners every time.
Yeah, he's just not that. He's not a social guy.
But it's like, isn't that part of the whole thing of the road that makes it bearable? Is that you have camaraderie with like your road?
You know what? After being on the road, like now it's, this will be my 38th year. I go right up to the room most of the time. I mean, I want the camaraderie because of the people I work with. But yes, so we'll go out every now and then. But I'd rather just eat in my room
more often than not.
I'd say 98%.
98. So you only go out for a few meals a year?
Maybe four or five.
Now, in defense of Michael, because I go through the same thing, bro, with the Rangers, you're doing a show too. Like, it's one thing if you were just going on the road for the game, you'd have this free time, but after doing 3.5 hours of radio.
Right. Do you feel like then also?
You know, it's a lot.
Leo in LA. Leo.
Leo.
Hey. I'm talking to Michael. Okay, listen. The level of disrespect from that last caller was absurd. Mike, you would be a tremendous comic.
Thank you.
Tremendous.
Leo. Thank you.
Okay, I moved to LA from New York 5 years ago. I found the podcast like 2 years ago, and people must look at me like I am a lunatic driving home because I'm cracking up in my car from the three of you guys.
Thank you, Leo.
It's unbelievable. I love what you guys are doing. Peter, you know, I was a Hot 97 guy, so I always listen to you. I have my doubts. You're killing it.
Oh, right? Sweet man.
And, you know, Mike, sometimes you could be a terrible guy, and I love it. It is great.
See, thank you for saying what needs to be said.
Exactly the same person you are, because it is just 100% pure energy.
Now, let me ask you, before I let you go on, yeah. Leo, do you think I'm a bad guy, or do you think I play one on the radio?
Oh,
be honest.
I think you play into it tremendously.
So I'm not as bad as you think.
Well, I wouldn't know that. I don't know you on a personal level. Maybe you are, but I don't think so. It seems to me like you just like to play into it. You like the attention it gets. I love when you get it, Peter, with all the wife stuff. It's just hilarious.
Thank you, Leo.
But he knows you're a bad guy.
I play a bad guy on the radio.
Well, when we say Michael's a bad guy, we're just kidding around. When we say he's a freak, or at least when I say he's a freak, I'm telling the truth.
Ooh.
Wow.
Don
thinks another level of freak. That's what he's talking about.
But Leo, if you listen to the show yesterday, he likes to make out with his eyes open.
Whatever floats your boat.
That's right. My boat.
Well, that's the thing about being a freak.
Nobody gets hurt by me opening my eyes. Nobody gets hurt. There's no victim if I open my eyes.
Victimless crime, you're saying.
We all have our things, right? Pete is a grown man who's really into wrestling. It is what it is.
I love
Leo.
You know,
don't judge. Just take it for what it is.
That's not the same thing.
What do you got, Leo, other than compliments? What do you got?
Yeah, what I was going to ask you, and I know this is just a crazy out there kind of question, but it feels to me like the quarterback situation for both the Jets and the Giants is just, and man, it's like torture listening to this and seeing it. I mean, you got one team with this 40-year-old guy talking that he's gonna play until he's on, you know, until he got AARP, you know, so he's collecting Medicare. You got the other guy that they drafted with it so high up that's clearly just a mediocre backup quarterback. Like, is it really just going to be a waiting game forever with these two teams till they actually have a good quarterback, or like, yeah, you know, somebody like Russell Wilson who just shook loose? I mean, my God, you know, that's somebody who you could say, all right, maybe he's had a couple of rough years, maybe he had a bad coach, but imagine him on either one of those teams and what a difference that would make. But instead, you know, they
well,
didn't
I don't think Leo, I don't think he fits on the Jets. I mean, the Jets are in
Giants, maybe
the Giants with a minimum payment, and then let the Broncos pay the rest. I mean, if they want to win, if they draft McCarthy and they say, oh, let's keep this guy for a year because we don't think Daniel Jones going to be healthy, I could see that.
Yeah, I could see
that. But he's not a long-term answer.
But it seems like, you know, these general managers are so concerned about good teammates, and it just seems like there's something up with Wilson that just makes it difficult in the team aspect, in the locker room. It seemed that way in Seattle, Denver, But for a minimum wage, it would be worth a try, wouldn't it? Just to see. And if it doesn't work out, if he ends up being, you know, everything that people speculate, then you just let him go.
And you know, the word today is that it looks like it could be Pittsburgh. They're interested, and he's interested in them. Jonathan in L.A. Jonathan.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Jonathan.
How's it going, Michael? Michael, I have to call you. So I'm going to go to opening day with my six-year-old son. I was really fortunate to go last year. Now we're going this year. We're making it a tradition thing. And my wife...
Wait, opening day in New York or in Houston?
No, in Houston.
In Houston?
In Houston,
okay.
In Houston, yes. And she's asking me to ask you if it's dangerous for a Yankee fan to go with a six-year-old.
No.
Okay.
No, the Houston fans are fine.
Okay, also, I always have you on the TV right here, all the way from L.A. Every time I pick up my son, I always have you on. And my six-year-old son, last time we were eating lunch, and I don't know where, he just told me something. And, well, here, I'm going to let him ask you. Go ahead. Or let him tell you. Go ahead.
Michael K. looks like a grandpa.
Wait, what?
What?
He looks like a what?
What did you think? Michael K. looks like a grandpa.
Yeah, you know what? You know, you, young man, you're right. With this beard, even more so.
That's true.
He meant it to.
The
Pusick. Oh, the
Pusick. No, you know, Jonathan, your kid's right, and have a good time opening day. I look much older, I think. I think if your hair was dark, Don, and your beard was dark, you'd look much younger.
Yeah, how would it work? Wouldn't it be weird if I just walked in and all of a sudden my hair was darker?
Well, no. The ship sailed already.
Yeah.
If you had been coloring your hair as it was starting to, then I think that you could do it. Like Mike Breen, the ship sailed.
Right.
But when you have, if you just have a head of white hair, you're going to look older.
But his son watches the show and thought you look like a grandpa.
Right.
Didn't say me.
True. Well, he thinks you're Santa.
That is interesting. Didn't think you.
Interesting in the way I say it, or really interesting?
No, that is interesting that he doesn't think Don looks like a grandpa because he's all gray, but you look like a grandpa.
Yeah, I feel like one. And you know what? My age would indicate that I could be a grandpa. I could be a great grandpa.
Yeah, you could be many grandpas.
Yeah, but I'm not anything but a dad.
Aww. You know what? Hell of a dad you are.
Hi, everybody. This is Michael Kay, letting you know that employee pricing is back at PC Richard & Son. You pay what their employees pay, not a penny more, on washers and dryers, refrigerators, ranges, all home appliances. Employee pricing on select Sealy mattresses, too, plus fast and free delivery. It's PC Richard & Son's way of saying thank you for supporting their local family-owned business. Employee pricing, going on now.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The point guard.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
Anthony Josh was fighting on Friday against Francis Ngannou.
Right.
And everyone's... This is going to crush that fight in impressions. Today, we'll get way more impressions and conversation than whatever happens with Joshua and Ngannou on Friday. And even in that case, Anthony Joshua, who's he fighting? An MMA guy. It's a crossover fight. It's not even two boxers. So we were on the precipice of getting a real heavyweight division. There was that moment of Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua, and Tyson Fury. We had three emerging stars and champions. And then everyone fell apart. Deontay Wilder couldn't get a win on Tyson Fury. Anthony Joshua takes a bad loss. And the only guy now who's still unscathed is Tyson Fury. And Tyson Fury's sort of an odd fighter.
Yeah. Are you happy, Peter?
Well, it was well-deserved today. I mean, there weren't a ton of major sports stories. We spent a lot of time on the Tyson fight. I delivered some haymakers, and I scored a win. You know, it's nice
so
to get back on the board.
That if you didn't win today, when would you
ever
win?
That's exactly what I'm saying. It would have me know the fix was fully in. The fix may still be in.
Right.
This may have been to, like, knock me off the trail a bit.
Right.
But I'm proud of it.
So where do we stand going into tomorrow?
I think it's wide open.
Somebody that keeps.
I think it's
1-1-1-1.
Yeah, 1-1-1 and a listener.
Oh,
yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, wow.
That means tomorrow someone has to bring the ruckus.
Tomorrow's a rubber game. Let's go. You know what? A show like this, you have to talk to Richard.
I knew it. And he's got to have an old boxing stat of some sort.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Michael, Don, Peter. Look,
The National Hockey League and the Major League Baseball playoffs are broken. But I don't know. They may, the executives may want to keep it this way. They love Boston Bruins losing in the first round. They want to see World Series Texas-Arizona because, as Cashman said, it's a crapshoot. Here's how you can fix it. It's sort of like what John Smoltz said last week. First of all, baseball, every series should be seven. The first two games are home games for the worst-seeded team. One day of travel, next five games, home team, better seed. And that's how you do it throughout the playoffs in baseball and in hockey. That's how you do it. So two games for the worst-seeded team, home. Five games for the higher-seeded team, home. And then you divvy up the money from the gate receipts any way you want. But you only have one travel date. That's why you can have the first series in baseball best of seven instead of best of five, which they're doing now. So the better teams, you don't know.
I'm not mad at that. Yeah, but your basic premise isn't correct. I mean, they were not, they were not thrilled about the World Series.
Well, I don't think the networks
Texas
were.
And that's what counts.
Yeah, but I do think.
I don't think the NHL was happy Boston got knocked out in the first round.
The networks, but I do think with inside the leagues, they like to see the small market teams make runs because they want to show that they justify that. Hey, we deserve to have a team
Texas
in Arizona.
Texas is not a small market. Arizona, no, okay.
Listen, so I'm sure Gary Bettman was not upset to see the Florida Panthers, a team that he's, you know, trying to keep in Florida, make a run, win over fans in Florida, get them excited about the Stanley Cup. It's always nice to have the Rangers and the Bruins and the Flyers involved, but to get some of these smaller market teams to get those markets excited about their sport, I think that's what they want. I think Richard's right. I think the networks frown down on it, but they've already spent the money on the networks. So the networks already spent the money for the league. So I don't think they worry that much about that.
Oh, I think they worry a lot about the networks. They're thinking about the next deal. And you can't make the first round seven games.
So no,
make the first round five games, and all five games are the better teams home.
But I do think that the teams, like the team that wins the President's Trophy in the NHL, should get more than just one extra home game in the first round.
I agree.
You know, if you wanted to have where it's 5-2 or 6-1, and that makes the regular season fun because then there would be incentive to finish with the best record instead of just saying, all right, listen, we're in, and I've got home court or home ice for the first couple of rounds. I'm good. Mail in the final week and rest everybody. Now you would see teams really try to get that one seed if they had that kind of an advantage.
So we usually get one or two calls every couple of days.
Why didn't the Yankees sign Trevor Bauer?
Well, Trevor Bauer has signed to pitch for the Asian Breeze, which is a touring team of players mostly in the Asian minor leagues. And I guess the thing that's a carrot for him, I believe that the Asian Breeze is playing the Dodgers in Arizona in a week. So he probably has made an arrangement that he's going to pitch against the Dodgers. Now, if he shuts down the Dodgers and that lineup, because the Dodgers are going to open up on the 20th or the 22nd in Korea against the Padres. So they're going to want to play their regular players then. Does he get an offer then? To this point, nobody. Not one bite.
But you said it really had nothing to do with his ability to pitch. It's just the allegations were so heinous, nobody wants to bring that on. So let's say he goes and pitches great. Is that going to change your mind? We all know he's a quality pitcher, Michael, and for the minimum wage, anybody should be able to take advantage of it and take a chance on him. But really, is your mind going to be changed no matter how well he pitches on what he's been accused of doing?
Well,
because that seems to be the reason, right?
Well, I think that's the main reason. The other reason, you know, he didn't pitch that great last year in Asia. He did okay. And there's concern about with no sticky stuff, is he going to be able to pitch the same way?
But all that, you're talking about minimum wage. You bring him in, you try him out. If he's no good, you cut him. No harm, no foul.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot for teams to get over what they know.
Apparently so. I don't know. Fans refuse to give up on this.
Because it's
fans
don't care. Now.
First of all, we don't know what he did. I guess fans could say, well, maybe he's innocent. Maybe he didn't do anything. Maybe, you know, but
well,
I
he
think
wasn't
most,
charged with it. I
right.
mean, all charges
but
were
saying
dropped.
Is that
but Major League Baseball still held a year suspension.
But do we know officially what he was accused of doing?
I think we have ideas, but we don't know everything.
So fans can be like, well, we have ideas. We don't know. I just want to see my team win a championship. If they saw what these owners have seen, and maybe know a lot more than the general public, why do I feel like they'd still be like, all right, I still want him?
Don, there'd be, if O.J. Simpson was 32 years old and what happened happened, there'd be teams of football fans that say, why don't they sign O.J. Simpson? It's just how fans are. They don't care. They just want production. They don't care about you, what you've done. They don't care.
It's an interesting question. Is it, like you brought up, O.J. Simpson's a really good analogy. Because you could, I guess, if you were a fan, a football fan, say, I don't think he did it.
And also, he was found innocent.
Right. I don't think
guilty.
He did. But do you think fans, Peter, it'd be interesting for you.
All right.
That if he said, I did it, and I do it again, would you want him then? Or would you take the allegations and just doctor it up in your head? Well, he didn't really do it. He was framed. I'm sure this is all just a stunt.
Do I think that the people who are saying this, if he said he did do it, would still want him?
Yes.
I think most no. I think there's some who don't care, particularly about...
Whoa, wait a minute. I don't want to get too political here, but there's this candidate that allegedly have done terrible things. Their supporters don't care.
No, I'm still going to vote. Do they believe he didn't and don't care? Or do they believe it's all made up? It's a witch hunt. He never did these things. I think it's more the latter.
I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question.
Because I think
this is different because political figures these days, a lot of people follow like cult figures.
Right.
This is just a player you want on your team. You want him so bad that even if you knew he did.
Well, I mean, OJ was found not guilty, but he was found guilty in a civil trial. Fans would still be clamoring for him to be their running back. They just would.
Right.
That's how the game is.
Would those fans say, I don't care that he killed his wife and her boyfriend? Or would they say, I don't believe he did it?
I think they'd say, I don't believe it, and I'd still have him as my running back.
Right. I believe that they would try to trick themselves and say, well, he was found not guilty. They wouldn't care about the civil situation.
OJ is so complicated and convoluted, though. It's like there was so much more baked into that than a simple trial.
I don't know. Jeffrey Dahmer could throw 100 miles per hour.
Dahmer, my fashion icon.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.